Hello everyone and welcome to the PlayStation Access podcast. Today, the funeral dirge plays as we're here to talk about death. A special treat for my final podcast as part of the PlayStation Access team. How sweet! Prepare for Dave's romantic lament, Rosie's Lord of the Rings film club, and Rob's gushing on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth in this week's episode. I'm gonna miss these guys. Hello everybody, welcome to the PlayStation Access Podcast, the official podcast of PlayStation UK, where this week, it's all about death. Death and decay and nastiness.
I thought you were going to say it's all about Ash.
No.
And that was going to make me laugh.
So you had the awkward...
It's all about me.
So you had the awkward pre-prepared laugh and it just came out a little bit like, oh, that's not what I was hoping for.
Very different.
That's every week, I'm afraid.
It's right, yeah. Yes, okay, I should have known that.
It is a little bit about me this week, though, because I'm going.
Yes.
I've gone by the time this comes out.
Yeah, you have.
Well, you clearly haven't. You're still here.
Yeah. I'm a ghostly spirit.
You should explain that more, Ash, because there might be someone listening who's not heard the news.
Oh,
What? It's not that difficult, is it?
I am leaving PlayStation Access.
Oh, don't say it like that. Why would you say that?
By the time this comes out, I have actually left PlayStation Access, which is really sad. Really sad and scary. And this is the first actual bit of content we're doing as before anything else has happened. And I'm all some emotions might come out. But yeah, it's been a good time, hasn't it?
I hope it's been a very good time.
If you don't end this podcast, Ash, by saying a very specific line,
oh, yeah,
I will be disappointed.
Don't worry. It's written in the announcement. Good. Don't worry. Right. I know my way.
Ash spent most of her PlayStation Access career saying that line. It took a long time to stop her from saying it. Well, it's going to come naturally.
I've decided that this week I want to talk about death because I am... dying.
No, you're not. You can't say that kind of thing. That's how rumors start. No,
it's just I thought it was a symbolic way of doing the final podcast because there's always something that comes after, like a reanimated skeleton or a ghost.
Yes, those things I'm scared of.
Yeah.
But there is the moment where it's like, oh, everyone's sad. Okay, so there we go. Yeah. And also there's loads of interesting things that happen surrounding the idea and concept of death in games as well. So I thought it'd be fun to talk about in general and also tickles my little morbid bone that I've got. That I like being tickled.
Right.
So...
Move on.
Aside from all of that, another big thing happened this week, aside from me leaving, which, big, I guess, I guess Final Fantasy VII came out.
Yeah! Didn't that come out in 1997?
Look at you playing it for a little bit.
I know things.
Oh, plays one Let's Play with Robin Hargan. But I figured we would do names inspired by Final Fantasy VII characters.
Oh, cool.
In honour of Rebirth being out. So we've got Tifash.
No, that's good.
Yeah,
it's one of the best ones you've come up with
your
whole pun career.
Yeah, it's true. And it's just sticking my name on the end of someone else's. Yeah. So you're Robin Hargan,
because yeah,
that's your persona at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
There's no getting around that.
Who?
Is that a noise he makes?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
I can confirm
that's
that.
His iconic, that's his iconic noise. That's his calling card.
It wasn't a noise, was it? That was his, it was just written down.
Yeah.
Rob brought it to life.
Yeah.
Wow. He's imagined that since 1997, Rob has pictured that sound.
Well, I have not got to the bit as we're recording this where I actually meet Boogan Hagen in Rebirth yet. So I've not actually heard what it actually sounds like. It might be very different.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. That's going to be a worrying moment, isn't it?
It is.
What if it's like, hoo, hoo, hoo.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think mine's going to be better, though.
Yeah.
Mine's official.
Better.
Mine's the best.
Mine's official.
Yeah.
Officially unofficial.
I do a better Gollum impression than Andy Serkis, and my hoo-hoo-hoo is better than Boogan Hagen's.
My hoo-hoo-hoo.
Anyway, sorry. Moving on.
We've also got Red Sea 13.
Red Sea 13.
I'm happy with that one.
Yeah,
happy
that
with that one.
Great.
I thought you'd enjoy that. And one also, similarly, capturing the essence of character as well as name, Dave Corneo.
Oh.
Booze. But it's a good pun.
I was just I was told that it made sense. I don't
who told you that.
secret boss.
Yeah, secret
unbelievable.
Boss.
They're
both going Dave Corneo. Say that one. And I was like, okay. So that was my experience of that.
I see. Fantastic. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Not really, because Ash, he's not a good character.
He's not a nice man. No, he's a horrible man.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I just heard that he was like a bit of a like. Not that
I think
he was
he's a bit
evil.
Worse than that. Yeah. To be honest.
Is he? Is he horrible?
He's horrible.
Oh, sorry, Dave.
That's okay.
Secret boss is loving this.
Yeah. Exactly what he wanted. Yeah.
Oh, I've been set up. Right. So, preview of what we're going to be talking about this week. We've got a main feature which is all about death. We're then going to move on to comments of the week, which are community highlights from the hashtag Pod Squad. We're then going to go to before we go to have some speaking about things that are outside of games to prove we're real life flesh people.
Honest. Ooh,
made it through that. But first, it's the question that I'm always going to ask, but for the last time. Oh my God, I'm so going to cry in this podcast. What's new?
He wanted to say it.
I thought we said it now.
I went, what?
I thought we all said it.
We can all say it. Let's all say it together.
What's new?
For what's new this week, I have two things to get through before we move on to the very titillating and exciting reviews from Rob and Rosie of a certain video game. And those two things are things that I like, which is that Strange Horticulture has come to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 on the 23rd of February.
Strange Horticulture, I don't know what that is. I'm looking forward to finding out, but yeah. It sounds like two things that you like.
Yeah.
Strange and Horticulture.
So, right. It's about running a flower shop.
Okay.
Which on the surface is like, oh, yeah, great. But it's like an occult flower shop. So all these people come in and they're like, ooh, do you have a remedy for unlocking this door? And I just say, here's a plant. And they unlock the door with the plant.
Okay.
That's cool, right?
It's very interesting.
So you have loads of plants and you basically have to identify them. The game is identifying the plants that you have as well as collecting new ones and then giving them to people for their certain ailments or whatever. And basically you want to label all your plants by the end of the game. And there's a map you can go to explore different areas, but it's all kind of written text-based stuff. As in this screen that has various bits, and there's a cat that sits on the counter that you can click on, and it goes.
Aww. This does sound very you.
Sounds like Dredge, but with flowers instead of fish.
It is, but a lot less. Whereas Dredge, I think, is exploration first, story second. This is story first, exploration second. Mm-hmm. And you're in the shop the whole time as well. Like you just have like letters and notes and things that you can go and see on the map, but you get a little story about it rather than going somewhere.
Yeah.
I really like it. It's a really uniquely mechanical game. I haven't really played anything else like it. And it's got some really good spooky like elements to it because it is about the occult, it is about witches, and it's about kind of the rise of this strange creature and cult that you learn over the course of 16 days of working in this shop and getting letters and speaking to customers. And there's 8 different endings as well, so you can choose to do different things in it. But I love it, so I wanted to give it a little shout out here. I also think than on the first person to platinum it on PlayStation.
Whoa.
Well.
Pretty sure we can check that, you know.
You can check it.
Yeah.
I think I am because...
You've checked and you are.
No. No, but I was blessed with a preview copy, so I've had code, and it was on 0%, and all the other trophies had like 0 or 33, so there's like 3 people that played it for the preview, because it's come to consoles rather than a hot fresh release. So that could be
that's amazing,
or either that or I'm like
very yes, very close to.
I definitely want to find out now. We need to find this out.
We can definitely find out.
Yeah,
it's on my list of really cool indie games that take an afternoon to play that I want to shout about a lot. So I'd put it in with my Dredges and my Obra Dinns and all that sort of thing. That's definitely been added after we played it.
Yes,
Next thing is the Outlast Trials on PS4 and PS5 comes out on the 5th of March on console, and I'm excited.
But you're not going to be here to make make me play it. No, so I'm excited. I'm excited.
I just get to enjoy it. That's
you could just enjoy it as just a human being.
Yeah.
You don't have to torture me.
Yeah.
You get to play it.
It's so nice. How exciting is that? Like, yeah. Just horror for me, no horror for you.
Although I did say I wanted to play more co-op games this year, and it's they've only gone and made a co-op Outlast, for God's sake.
I do feel like there's so much legacy and pedigree on the channel for Outlast that you do have to play it in a Let's Play and upload it, and I want to see it and watch it.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. I was quite pleased that my Outlast days were done.
Well,
it took us a long time to get round to Outlast 2, didn't it? So.
Yeah, I've managed to fend you off for a long period of time there, but we'll see. But it is exciting that it's coming at last, and I think that, I mean, Outlast is a really unusual series. I think, I don't know, it's just really good. It's horrible. I mean, I really think it's horrible.
It's nasty.
But also brilliant. Especially the first game, I think they were so innovative what they did, and in spite of myself, I kind of now maybe enjoyed having played it, but a co-op, maybe co-op will be like less scary because you'll have friends who are also in it together. Yeah.
But what if you get separated?
Oh my God, Rosie! No.
I mean, I don't know anything about how it's going to go. No. But what if?
I mean, it's definitely a possibility. Mm. Can I quickly hijack this to talk about a game I've been playing, which I should have talked about in the last podcast, but I wasn't here, which is Ultros, I do want to talk about. Ultros has been out for a couple of weeks. I think it's absolutely brilliant, and it's so weird. And it took me maybe 45 minutes of playing for it to nothing really clicked, actually, because it took me the whole game. I was going, what is going on? What am I doing? But the click was, oh, I'm really enjoying this. I'm really enjoying the mystery and the thread. And Ultros is a game which is being published by Kepler, and it's like nothing I've ever played. It's a Metroidvania, I guess, in as much as you're exploring a map, you're unlocking skills.
Sorry, it's like nothing I've ever played. It's a Metroidvania.
I guess, as I said, like I'm trying to put it in a box for you to help you gobble it up, but it's really not.
Would not want to eat anything that Ultros puts out. Like, it's going to be slimy and oinkly and squinkly.
It's funny because a lot of the game is about eating. You eat your enemies, or you can eat your enemies. You grow plants and trees which bear fruit, which you may eat for certain purposes. That you actually have a kind of nutrition meter, which is split up into kind of like four parts, and your skill, leveling up your skills or earning your skills, depends on which kind of nutrition you have. So what I'm trying to say is, if you want to unlock a certain skill, you might think, oh, I need to eat loads of apples then. And they're not apples, they're like space apples. But, you know, you have to farm those, or like maybe grow some trees that grow those to then unlock this skill. It's so super weird, but brilliant. And there's this whole kind of networking of nature going on as well. This feeling of connection, kind of like the Force, I guess.
So we're going full Star Wars.
Bringing life.
I'm
just trying to draw some comparisons that could make this slightly easier for me, because I honestly just think it's so strange, but brilliant. Yes, it is very mysterious, and I found myself wondering what I was doing a lot of the time, but really enjoying it. And it is such a treat for the eyes. That I can definitely like confirm. You can confirm that by just watching a trailer or something. It's so colourful and beautiful. And I've just had loads and loads of fun of it, and I wanted to give it its moment.
Well, thank you, David. That was lovely.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you've been enjoying Ultros. I know you made a little short for the channel as well highlight it.
Thank you, Ash. Yes, I made a short in a slightly different style, and I was actually quite nervous about it going live, but it is now live.
It was good.
It's certainly something.
That's all I ever said, is that it was good.
And it's about Ultros, so you can enjoy that too if you'd like.
Yes. Well, thank you. And now, guys, you may uncap whatever you've been brewing for the past few weeks playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I don't know what's going to come out, and I'm scared.
Yeah, you're going to have to corral this.
No.
You're going to have to corral this, Ash.
The golem breathing begins.
Oh, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Here we go. Well, when you're saying it's like releasing unbrewing the pot or something?
Uncorking the thing.
The thing is, Rob and I, we've been having
daily bulletins.
Yeah, daily bulletins. skeletons.
What chapter are you on?
We've been saying that. Yeah. Do you want me to actually say it time of recording?
Well,
or
well, we don't. No, you don't have to. But that's what we've been doing.
Yeah, like
day.
Where are you up to? And then when we both establish where, like, which chapter we're both on, and like who's ahead, then the other. It's like, okay, let's talk about.
We can talk about this bit safely.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't want to talk about too much specifics because I don't want to spoil anything for anyone. And also, hopefully by now, we've got some videos on the channel which do go into a little bit more detail about their game. But
can I ask a question? I know this of you specifically, Rob. I think you said before it arrived that it was your most anticipated game maybe ever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you stand by it? Is that correct?
I think yes.
And does it fulfill that anticipation?
It's gone way beyond what I thought it was.
Wow.
I cannot fathom how they've managed to make this in 4 years. It's enormous.
Mm.
I honestly think it's a miracle of a game. It's so big, so full of stuff.
So many different environments as well.
It's so far beyond anything that Remake... It's like such a different game to Remake.
Mm.
And that is structurally how that story works. Remake was set in the Midgar portion of the game, which is just inside the city. And Rebirth picks up as you get into the world map. So it's that moment that you get in Final Fantasy VII and the moment that you get in quite a lot of open world games where you come out of the tunnel into the light and you see the open world. It's that feeling sort of like splayed across hundreds of hours of amazing gameplay. It's got all the story beats you'd expect. So like Remake, it reimagines iconic scenes from the original Final Fantasy VII in really spectacular ways, and that's a massive thrill. But in between that, you've got these enormous, beautiful open world areas where you just get to... It's such a joyous game. It's so colourful. Whereas the first game in Midgar, very oppressive by the nature of Midgar, quite dark and gloomy, and this one, it's like the gloves are off. They're really just gone for it. There's so many hilarious mini games in it. Final Fantasy VII, the original, had lots of funny mini games, as you are experiencing, Dave.
Yes.
But it's like any excuse for a mini game, it's like Rebirth, let's put a mini game in.
Yeah.
Can we make this into a mini game? Yeah. Yes, let's do it. And it's just wonderful all the time. It's funny. It's really funny, really warmly written. They've made a massive effort to make that party of characters the real focus of everything that happens.
Yeah.
So it's built into it mechanically where each of your party members has like a little emoji symbol, almost like a smiley face, depending on how well they're getting along with Cloud. And that is affected by conversation choices you can make in the game. But even outside of that, there are areas you go through and the little in-jokes. Like there's one particular area, this is not really a spoiler, I don't think, where there's just a running joke about, I'll do that for $2,000.
Yeah,
so
I love
like,
that
Barrett will ask Cloud, okay, can you... Okay, and Cloud's like, I'll do it for 2,000. Then the party gets split up and Barrett and Red 13 go and do a bit and Barrett's like, oh, I'll do that for $2,000. And then Aerith comes up with the line later on. I'm explaining it badly, but it's just an example of just a really nice, warm... You did have to be there and you do have to play it. But it's... I love it so much. At the time of recording, I have not finished it. I'm hoping by the time this comes out, I will be much nearer finishing it. But it's all I can think about at the moment. All I can think about right now is going home and just playing as much as I can.
Yeah, it literally is. Go home, eat, and then just play it until bedtime.
Yeah.
Like, that is very much how it's just consuming life at the moment.
Till 9 p.m, Rosie.
I know! Late for me!
Is that, like, your first impression? In a word, what would it be?
Miraculous.
Oh, good word.
Oh, God! I don't know how I can top that, in all honesty. I was just like, amazing, brilliant. And then I was just like, miraculous. I was like, oh my God, phenomenal.
It could just be a noise if you want, Rosie.
A noise?
Yeah.
Like,
I like that.
I like that the noise came with a shake as well.
Yeah, I was just like,
it couldn't be contained. The noise wasn't enough.
It's just a big scream of just like, there's so much to do. It's so much fun. It's like, yeah, I basically just agree with everything Rob's saying at the moment, which is why I have nothing more to add. My personal favorite part is the party and their relationship and how they all talk to each other and how it's really blossomed into what it's become in Rebirth. So,
Tifa and Aerith's relationship is great.
I love Barrett and Reds as well. Like Barrett and Red, I also feel like they've got a good little friendship going on as well. So
also, we should give a little shout out to Queen's Blood, which might be the best in-game card game I've ever played.
It's fantastic. We're all like literally.
It's a big cool because I'm saying it's better than Triple Triad and it's better than Gwent.
We've been talking about like different decks that we've got and what tactics we like to do and how different opponents, you know, they all handle the board differently. It's so much fun. The music is such a bop. I love it so much.
Where do you play this card game?
You just challenge people in the world.
Right.
Much like Gwent, you can. There are certain NPCs that are up for a game of Queen's Blood. And what I really like is how anyone who wants a game of Queen's Blood, they're usually sitting on a table. It's quite an elaborate board. It's like a mini chessboard. But next to it, there will always be like a little receptacle for Cloud's sword.
Yes.
So whenever Cloud, these receptacles just seem to be everywhere. And it's just like the respect for the game is so high that Cloud will remove his sword.
Wow.
He removes his sword for no one. But when he sits down for a game of Queen's Blood, sword comes out. Goes in the little sword holder and he will sit down and play Queen's Blood.
I was thinking as well, because there's one opponent you have who has a guitar, and I was like, why don't they get somewhere they can put their guitar down? Like Cloud's got his little sword stand, and meanwhile this guy with a guitar in his lap still playing Queen's Blood. Just like, fine, you've got a sword stand, my guitar's just staying on my lap.
Also, the piano's amazing.
Precious. Yes.
Piano's amazing as well.
The piano.
You get sheet music.
I'm sure it's pretty good.
Often with... with songs from the original Final Fantasy VII, and you're obviously not really playing the piano. You're doing it's you know like a rhythm action type thing, but really beautifully done, and it feels really. I almost got quite emotional. I was playing Tifa's theme on the piano yesterday, and the music was coming out because of what I was doing with my thumbs. And it just felt great.
That's also how instruments work.
It's also like challenging as well, because it's not like you've just got like one input. Think of it like, you know, in Guitar Hero, when you have hard mode and then suddenly it's not just the three buttons, but now you've got the orange and blue to consider as well. Mm. You've got like the two different like monitors to show where your joystick will point. So when you're focusing on one and then suddenly the corner of your eye sees
you've got suddenly to do the chords
come in
on that finger on the left stick. But when you if you get it perfect, the music starts to become more beautiful and it sort of feeds you in. You get a more rousing version of the song the better you perform. It's wonderful.
Can you do a little sing version of Tifa's theme for us so I know what it sounds like?
I don't want to do that.
Oh. La 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 la.
Thank you.
La 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 la. There you
beautiful.
Go.
I recognised that thing.
You don't even need to do it properly. You just need to go like it's just a famous little tune.
The only one that I know is the fight.
Oh yeah, that is good.
I love that one.
That's great. It's like a remixed version of the world map theme as one of the fight themes in this game as well, which is amazing.
The music in general is really, really good.
All I ever hear is da 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 da.
Oh yeah.
Well, don't worry.
That's all I hear.
They still keep that in Rebirth. Don't worry. You can hear it even more.
I will.
The iconic tune.
You guys came out with a button that does it, didn't you? Smashing it on the platinum stream.
Yeah.
But thank you guys. That was a really lovely insight into the game without going into too spoilery territory. And of course, we do have loads of coverage on the channel that you should check out. So head over to the YouTube channel for that. Or if you're already here, watch the end of this and then go and enjoy some Final Fantasy Rebirth goodness that is all over the shop, sprinkled. I don't know. I don't know what you guys have been doing with it, but it's out there.
I think liberally slathered.
Oh, slathered. Mm. Ooh, coated is the one that Rosie says. I like that.
Yeah. Coated.
Coated.
I do say coated a lot, yeah.
It's coated in content.
Yes.
For now, though, we're going to move on to our main feature. Okay, it's time to talk about death. There's a noise for it as well.
Is that the little noise for death, is it? Just
that's what people noise people make in video games, isn't it? You get them and they go
That is
all
true.
Of them. Yeah.
Ash is available for voiceover work.
It's now, true. So, I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh god. Well, I thought we'd kick this off with moving on from Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. We're not going to talk about any Final Fantasy spoilers. There will be some spoilers for games in this section, but we'll tell you what the game is before we just unleash a name or what happens in it. But on from that, I thought it would be a good kind of area to talk about what video game death hit you the hardest, because there are so many wonderful stories in video games and in gaming at large that have death as a core part of it. So which is the one that kind of messed you up the most? Let's talk about that. I just thought that'd be fun.
I've got one.
Oh my god.
I'm already crying.
Sounds bad, yeah.
Okay, so as soon as I say the title of this game, it's almost like a spoiler. So if any of you haven't played this game,
I'm sorry.
You're about to have it spoiled.
Do you know if we've played the game?
I don't know.
Okay.
And he doesn't care.
But this is undoubtedly probably one of, if not the video game death that's hit me hardest. And that is in the game, Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
A Tale of One Son.
I never actually quite finished it.
Oh, God's sake, Dave. Well, I can unfortunately tell you that not both brothers survive the game, and it's impactful not just because it's sad, obviously, that one of the two main characters of the game dies, but the way the game is set up, you control one brother with one stick and one brother with the other stick, and it's quite a difficult thing to get used to at the start because it's quite an unusual way to play a game, but you do get used to it. You get used to controlling one brother on the left and one brother on the right, and the way they work together to get through and puzzle the way through levels is really intuitive and unique.
And they're both bears?
No, they're humans.
Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Yeah, but I thought they were bears.
No, that's Brother Bear. Are you confusing it with the film?
I don't know. I just always thought this game was about two bears.
No, nothing to do with bears.
There's a Disney film called Brother Bear or something.
I don't know. I just always thought it was about two. So they're humans.
They're humans.
The goal is their father is dying,
and he's not a bear.
Either, no. And they have to go and find a cure for their dying father. And
I'm far less interested now they're not there.
At the end, towards the end, the elder brother dies, and you don't just emotionally feel the loss, but you physically feel the loss because the game feels completely different to play. All of a sudden, you have to go back with the medicine to your father, and you're just controlling the one brother all the time, and it feels completely weird. You feel this; it doesn't feel right. There's an emptiness here, and I thought the way it did that was very clever and very impactful. You physically feel the loss of this character because you're so used to him being there with you. And like, yeah, I control that brother with the left stick. And all of a sudden, I can't remember whether it's the left or the right brother that dies. But whatever one it is, it's just not there anymore. And the younger brother, one of the things he is unable to do in the game, he can't swim. So he has to be helped across large bodies of water by his older brother. And you get to this bit of water and you're like, oh, the younger brother can't swim. And you use the stick that controlled the older brother to make the younger brother swim across this bit.
That's too much.
Brilliant.
That's excellent.
Yeah. He's got to learn to swim if he's going to catch any salmon.
Yes. He's not a bear.
Can't stress that enough. Yeah. He's not a bear.
You know they announced a remake, right? This one, they remake it as bears.
I hope so. Oh my God, I'm just so out of the loop. Genuinely, in my head, it must be Brother Bear.
I think it is. You're thinking of the Disney film.
Is there two bears in that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's probably it then. But I just have always thought it was a game about two bears. And I was like, well, it's can't be that sad. It's just some bears. But...
Are you serious? A bear dying
bears
wouldn't be sad.
Lovely.
It's true. No,
not in real life. They're quite scary.
But they have such lovely ears.
I love the tweet when it's like, "How could something so violent have these lovely ears?" I love bears.
When they have the little round ones, and they look like teddies.
I love bears.
Well, you know, teddies are based on bears.
What? Actually, they're based on humans.
Teddy bears, you mean?
That's the ones.
Have you guys ever been harrowed by a death?
I was actually I've struggled with this a little bit. And one thing that popped into my head, funnily enough, was not a death, but it was someone feigning death.
Don't want to hear it.
No, you do. It's someone feigning death. And it was in Uncharted 4. And there's a moment where Elena... and Drake are, I don't know, traversing, they're like on a, near a cliff. Something happens. They fall quite far, and Elena doesn't get up, and she's just pretending to be dead. And I suppose this is meant to be quite funny, and it becomes apparent within like 3 or 4 seconds that she's just pretending. But Drake is like starting to panic, and it was the last Uncharted game, and I thought Elena's dying, and this Elena dies in this game. This is it. This is the end of her story. This is how it happens. And I just was suddenly so sad about it. I didn't realize that I cared that much about Elena necessarily. And then she was fine, but I felt really like tricked by it. It has harrowed me ever since. And any time I play that scene again, you guys are all trying to stifle laughter for some reason. This is
I like that bit because it's not just Elena. Like it's not just bit? Elena pranking Drake. It's Naughty Dog pranking us.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
It's and she laughs, and it's like Naughty Dog going this was the last Uncharted game.
You thought
she was dead, didn't you? Not you really, you idiot.
See, I didn't think because I remember when I did Uncharted 4, I thought it was going to be end of Sully's story.
We
so when
Elena
was
Sally
there
die, yeah.
when Elena was there I was like nah she's I was like she's pranking and then right. I was like oh like you know there was always the risk, but I think I was just so focused on the idea of Sully ending his story in Uncharted 4 that I didn't find Elena's moment as harrowing. But
it was one of those I think what I like about it and why it feels relevant is just like it brought home my investment in those games. And like I said, I've talked about Uncharted 4 loads, about it being, you know, the last one in the series and realizing what it meant to me. But like that moment made me crystallized what it meant to me, because the thought that one of the characters was going to die and or had died was like, no, I hate this. I love them. I can't believe it. And then it was fine and it moved on. And but yes, that one like really stuck with me, even though it wasn't a death. So I don't know if that counts. Don't be angry.
Did none of your crew in Mass Effect 2 die?
I don't think so.
Oh, if they did, he didn't care.
Well, I don't bring up my Mass Effect.
So you didn't manage to romance anyone, but you also did all of their loyalty missions perfectly.
This is what I'm saying. I'm so nice.
You sound like a professional captain, to be honest.
No, actually, Miranda died, I think.
You don't even care. You couldn't even remember.
Is it Miranda?
Yes, it's Miranda.
Look, I'll tell you what, honestly, it took me 2 years to finish Mass Effect 2, and I was pretty angry at them all by the end, because no one would kiss me. And all I wanted to do was
kiss
someone.
Kiss me,
I was like, is anyone up for it? All I heard about Mass Effect 2 was like, oh, the romance options are amazing. You can romance anyone. And I was like, fine, I will romance everyone, and no one would kiss me.
Well, that's your problem. You're going around flirting with them all.
Why is that a problem?
Because... other ones are going to know. Oh, you said we had something, Shepard.
I know, but it's not.
But
not,
you've been over I, there.
It's not real life. It's not real life. I imagined there was like a flirt meter, and I was keeping my flirt meter topped up with everybody. I was like, this is excellent flirting. And then no one would kiss me.
Honestly.
And anyway, what happened was I did everyone's loyalty missions, and then... Jack and Miranda, I think, are having like a bit of an argument, and I'm like, what's going on? Can we all just be friends? I would like to kiss either of you. And I had to pick a side, and I thought, to be fair, I do think Jack's got a point here. And then it was like, well, we're through. And then she died. So that's what happened in my Mass Effect 2. So and honestly, great. No, it didn't bother me that much.
And I didn't care.
Quite scared.
Well, I was annoyed that
she didn't kiss me, so I'm glad she's dead.
I was annoyed at the game because I was like, no, I didn't want to fall out with it. Like, I didn't feel like I had. I didn't feel like it was fair that we'd fallen out. I feel like that had been taken out of my hands. It was like, you know, if it was me, I would have been Dave instead of Dave Shepherd. I would have been more like understanding, and like I think I could have negotiated that situation better.
Negotiated a kiss from both of them.
It's just anyone.
Honestly,
Garrus. I was like, come on, Garrus, surely. Can you kiss Garrus? I'd really like Garrus. I was like, we were best buds.
Oh yeah, he's people's favourite one to kiss. Even through all the tough mandible business.
Yeah.
Samantha
Bayer
was here telling us all about their Mass Effect romancing and how they've gone through every character in the game.
Character.
Yeah, they just kept going up to them, doing all the romancing, and then like ending it with them and moving on to the next one. So
That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't want to do that. Genuinely. I just wanted someone to be mine. And now I would have been happy with that. I didn't need to romance everyone. But I just thought, you know, it's hard to pick a favourite when you're starting out, isn't it? You've got to keep your options open.
Well.
That is true.
Oh. Anyway, so Miranda died, but I didn't care that much.
Poor Miranda.
Oh. Yeah, it's not her fault. It's nothing to do with her character. It's like I said, I felt like it was a bit unfair, this happening, this argument happening. And she was like, and then she just wouldn't talk. You know, there's no way back. It's just like,
yeah.
I thought you were different. I thought you were a different Dave Shepherd.
Yeah, she's quite single-minded.
That's why I wanted to kiss
all these characters with their own opinions and
takes.
I
know, imagine.
Yeah. Ways of doing things.
Anyway, what about you, Rob? Did your Mass Effect 2 crew die, and did it make you sad? Or you, Rosie?
In Mass Effect 2, they all lived. They all lived, and I romanced...
That's Rosie.
And I romanced Garrus.
The good ending. And you got a romance in.
And
okay,
I got a romance
fine.
In. No,
two in?
Oh.
Well, you did in one and then in two, so...
Yeah. So in one, I had Caden, regrettably,
I
and
had.
Then in two... and then two, it was Garrus. And now Caden, honestly, no.
So what you're telling me is you accidentally managed to romance someone, whereas I purposefully tried to romance everyone and it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's why I genuinely
brilliant.
Don't
so
understand.
So you're just walking around and people are kissing you,
yeah.
But I'm like... Would anyone like to explore the gameplay mechanics with me?
Oh, God. Rosie is
right. It's supposed to be about death.
I know.
How am I supposed to talk about my character's death after that? Oh, I've got
Ash, why don't you tell us about your character's death and then we can come back to Rosie.
Oh, well, I'm just going to talk about The Last of Us 2 again.
I mean, how can we not talk about it, though?
Yeah.
It's the quintessential...
Not the big one, though.
Not the big one.
I was like, yeah, right.
Oh, are you doing Left Behind?
No, I'm not. This Last was part two, so it's Left Behind.
Oh, so you did
DLC.
Say that, yeah.
The big one is the big one, but and like obviously it affected me, but I felt like it was kind of like inevitable, like the way that character is and all the actions that he's taken. I don't know. I felt really sad about it. I felt more sad for Ellie than me.
Yeah.
And like what Ellie's story affected me a lot more from the impact he had. Oh God, it's just so good. But the one that really, really got me, surprisingly, was Jesse. Jesse, because he just gets shot in the head and left, and that's it. You don't talk about it again. So you come out, Abby's there, Tommy on the floor, literally just shoots Jesse in the head, and then everything moves on. It's like, oh, okay, here's the rest of the story. And it's like, it was just that kind of decisive moment where it was like, oh wow, like every character you kill in this game is Jesse, you know what I mean?
Right.
You just do it so fast, you headshot them, you leave them.
It was really effective, I thought,
yeah,
because the same thing happens to Manny later on.
Yeah,
and it's that I thought that, sorry, you go on.
No, it's okay.
I don't want to hijack your bit.
No, that's fine.
I love the Manny bit because it's that bit where you're fighting that sniper. You don't know who the sniper is. It's you as Abby and Manny. And you haven't seen Manny for a while. And you're like, oh, Manny's back.
Yay.
Cool. I get to do this cool bit with Manny.
Manny romances loads of people.
He does. And you're just pulling open a door, and it's like, okay, it's the bit where I pull open the door with my partner, and then bang, his face is just gone.
Yeah.
He's been sniped, and Abby's obviously reacting. She's covered in Manny's blood. You at this point, you're like, oh, Manny, he's gone, he's dead. And you hate that sniper by this point, because he's put you through like half an hour of torture trying to get to him. And you have a little tussle with the sniper, and you realise it's Tommy. And that was a real sort of penny drop moment for me. In The Last of Us Part 2, because it made me realise, oh my God, so, you know, I like Tommy usually, and if this was the other way, I can imagine that bit of gameplay playing as Tommy, and the objective being, okay, you're sniping here, snipe these people that are coming to attack
coming
you,
to get you,
and just bang, 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 and Manny would just be one of a number of people you'd snipe, and be like, yes, got him, and it just lets you experience that from the point of view of, you know, it's like that bit in Austin Powers where it does it humorously, where it's like, it imagines the henchmen's families and getting the phone calls because Austin Powers has killed the henchmen.
Yeah.
But it's obviously done a lot more harrowing than that in The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing. Anyway, sorry. I love that bit.
I think that's totally right. And like, I think it's just because, I don't know, I just...
just fancy Jesse a bit. Like, he's on the boyfriend list for sure. I just think that the way that he handles himself and that he cares about his friends and that you get that kind of bonding time with him and he's part of the Jackson crew and you don't actually see him do anything evil, like, you know, like Ellie, Abby both have a lot of evil under their belts. The WLF as a whole thing is like very military, and Manny kind of has that association. There's a bit of evil there because he loves killing Seraphites. Whereas I think with Jesse and then obviously him and Dina's relationship and literally just learning that he's going to have a baby and then pop, head explodes. And he's like the last one in the whole run-up of all this for Ellie's story. Oh God, I just thought it was such a moment of clarity that happens for 2 seconds before you move on to the next thing. I was like, Jesse, no. But I thought it was really good.
It is really good, and it is necessary, you know. It's the brilliance of that game, really, is just turning upside down games for a start, let alone, I mean, it's bigger than that, but obviously in games we're very used to just killing nameless foes and it being quite meaningless, really, and just sort of putting a magnifying glass on that is an amazing thing to do.
You see it from, like, that scene plays out from Abby's point of view later on in the game, and there is like a detachment there because you, by that point, you're like, you're, you know, maybe not everyone is, but I was like, I'm on Team Abby at this point. I'm like, oh my God, Ellie's killed my two friends, Owen and Mel. Is it Mel?
It is now.
And you see that point, and you see it from Abby's point of view, and it is just two people charging through a door and her firing off a gun and one of them dropping. And it's really effective, powerful storytelling that uses players' knowledge about how video games work in a really impactful way. Well done, The Last of Us.
Congratulations. How about you, Rosie? Let's do one more harrowing and then we'll move on to all the fun questions I have.
Well, like, this one was, you know, it was very, very sad, but it's impacted me not only because I was just a crying mess when it happened, but also just because I think it was such a beautiful way for this character's story to end and also for the game to end. But it's in Final Fantasy IX. And there is a character called Vivi, and throughout the whole game, Vivi is... I see Rob's face right now. Throughout the whole game, Vivi is... like, they're just sort of like an innocent character, and they start learning about the concept of death and what happens after, like, what happens when someone is dead. Like, what do they go somewhere else, or is that literally just the end? So Final Fantasy IX, it's got like a really good story. It's got romance in it. It's got humor in it. But with Vivi, you do get these questions, very deep questions, and sort of morality issues sort of happening. And then, because the way the Final Fantasy IX ends, I know that some people don't think that Vivi dies at the ending, but as soon as I played it, I always interpreted it that the character did die. They write a letter to the main protagonist, who you've been like, you know, mainly controlling with the rest of your party. But the whole letter is just basically saying a massive thank you note, saying like, thank you for teaching me the joys of life and making me appreciate how, you know, you live in the moment, and it's the memories you make that make everything so valuable, and the friends and things like that. It was just a really beautiful letter. And I mean, like, at the end, the character sort of clones themselves, so that you do have, like, they say one of them classes themselves as like Vivi's son, but it's not necessarily the Vivi that you've been.
It's a clone, same one.
But it's not the Vivi that you've been sort of exploring with necessarily. So I know there are some people who, like, you know, don't think Vivi passes away, but. Like, the way I interpreted it is that that is how it happened. And I just thought it was a beautiful way for the character, after the sort of like emotional journey that they've been going through, as well as just wrapping up the game. Essentially, the whole of Final Fantasy IX ending, I was in a mess because I was like, because of the romance, because of the death, because of so many other things. But that is one, not only, it's just really stuck with me just because I think it was a really, really well-written way just to talk about the concept of death. But apart from that, I mean, I cry at every video game death. Like, recent memory, God of War Ragnarok with Fenrir, like, when that happens right at the beginning, I was a mess. Aunt May,
I was like, get the other one.
like aggro in Shadow of the Colossus. Like, if there's a character that dies, I you guarantee, like, you look at me and I'm just going to be like, like, you know, just bawling my eyes out. But
aggro doesn't die.
Falls down the.
He's all right.
Is he all right in the end? Yeah. No, he like they fall
down.
You see
him limping along afterwards.
Oh,
Aggro's
no.
fine.
Is that that far? Well, either way, I remember that, just the scene of them going down and just like the neighing happy happening. Like,
there is a sad neigh. He's like, fools are, no,
yeah,
no.
It's like really sad. And I remember just being like just emotional at that. That's the thing. I even just get sad about anything bad happening to characters. But yeah, that's one that's, VV is one that's always stuck with me. Mm.
I think that's a good choice. I think God of War is a good point to jump off as well, because on the other hand, sometimes it's really satisfying to kill. And my pick for this one was absolutely Heimdall in Ragnarok. Mm. Oh boy, I loved stabbing that guy. He's such a little menace throughout the game. Like, they make him such a satisfying moment. Yeah. Obviously, there's this wider implication of Kratos shouldn't kill people. But being able to like shove that spear in his arm and blow it off and then strangle him to death on the floor, I was like, that's what you get for sassing me, Heimdall.
He's the character, like, Kratos has been trying really hard all the way through Ragnarok. I'm not, nope. It's like, I will not be killing any more gods today.
Yeah, he gives him so many chances
Heimdall
in the fight.
It's so annoying, so infuriating, and so aggravating that Kratos simply
maybe
is like,
one more.
Oh, you asked for this.
After all, why not?
Why not?
Why shouldn't I kill him?
Oh, it's just, he gives him so many opportunities in that fight, and he's like, yeah, but I'll kill Atreus. And you're like, well, all right then. All right, you want to go? I've got this drop near spear. I'm going to stick it up you.
Oh, the spear. I love it. Yeah. I love the moment where you realise that you can hurt him. Because Heimdall is like super dodge man, isn't he? Yeah. He's like, you can't touch me. I know exactly what you're going to do before you even do it. Yeah. And then you realise, but there is a way.
Yeah, you clock him one right in the face.
Oh, such a satisfying moment.
The little bit of blood. Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
Oh, I love that, when the little bit of blood technique. Yeah. You see it in films as well. Just the like the person who's not used to bleeding with a small cut.
Yeah.
And they always know it's like...
It's always on the, always on the facial area as well. Yeah. It's never like necessarily just like, ow, that hurt my arm. It's like, my face. Yeah.
It's been sliced.
I will wear this forever.
It's like Neo in The Matrix, where he blocks a sword with his hand. And he starts bleeding. And then the bad guys are encouraged just for a little moment. They think they can beat Neo, but they can't.
You can just matrix the blood back inside him. Nothing's real.
That's a great point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What about you guys? Who did you enjoy killing?
Oh, boy.
I think what I enjoyed, but mainly because of the frustration and the grind to defeat this... boss, I will say, will be Amygdala in the Chalice Dungeons. Like that moment when Amygdala gets taken down. Oh, I don't think I've ever screamed so much in my life, and I think I'm not the only one.
Oh.
Like, you do Amygdala like normally in the game, and they're a tough fight, but it's nothing compared to the Chalice Dungeon version. And just that moment when you finally get them, oh my god, I've just
I watched, for some reason, I don't know why. Did we all watch it? I was watching the bit from the Platinum stream the other day where Ash is just going, go on Rob, get it, you can get it, and Rob's just going, just you hit it, Ash, just hit it. And it happens for about 20 seconds.
Neither of you are hitting around, like, being absolutely the opposite way of Amygdala. You could have just got it going, like, go on Rob, get it, Rob's getting clobbered in the corner.
Rob really just didn't care. He was like, I don't care who kills it, just kill it. And you're going, go on Rob, you can do it. It's so funny.
And then the death, like, literally one hit left.
Oh my god.
Oh, it was so good.
You should have just hit it.
I was hitting it the entire time I was there hitting it.
You were throwing rocks at it, single.
I was under its horrible body, hacking at its legs. And it just did that jump thing, didn't it, that it likes to do.
That's a highlight of my time here in this place.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I have loads of other questions, but I know we're getting on for time. So I'm going to move on to just a question I just really want to ask before something else happens.
Oh, God.
And that is, what's your favourite environmental storytelling skeleton?
Skelly from Hades.
Nice.
Love Skelly.
Wait, he tells stories.
Well, yeah, but like, you know, he also helps you through. But like, he also helps you through the game.
Hang on, I've misunderstood.
Maybe I have misunderstood, but he does also help you through your like through the game and stuff. Okay. That's what you mean, right? The skeletons that just sort of
yes,
no, no.
Or do you mean like storytelling as in
environmental storytelling?
Okay, then the skeleton in Tomb Raider.
Okay, right loud. There's some in Tomb Raider.
There's a the great one, which is right before when you encounter the T-Rex.
Yeah, we looked at those.
We looked at those ones. And I said to you, I was like, look at this storytelling skeleton. There isn't one that actually tells the story. Yes.
But he says no words and yet says so much.
Much, yes, because you see that skeleton and then you're like, oh God, why there's so many skeletons in this area? It's because there's dinosaurs coming up. So environmental storytelling, that one skeleton in Tomb Raider 1.
Nice.
I don't think I have a favorite environmental storytelling skeleton.
That's okay. Do you, Rob?
I struggled with this question because
it was very niche.
I can't remember specific skeletons. I know exactly what you're getting at. Yeah. There is one in Skyrim which is more of an Easter egg than environmental storytelling, and it's like a Star Wars Easter egg.
I like that one.
It's in an ice cave.
That's a good one.
And it makes a reference to a thing in Star Wars that I can't actually remember.
What? It's where Luke fights the Wampa.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And he cuts off the Wampa's arm.
Yeah, so the skeleton, I think that, no.
Yeah.
Does the skeleton only have one arm?
Yeah.
There's something there. The sword is there as well. And it's just a Star Wars Easter egg and it's funny and I liked it.
Good. Thank you.
Well, who knows? Obviously, maybe I've forgotten it as well.
It's in a Friday feature.
It's great.
And I captured it and I researched it. I was like, oh, yes, because I didn't get that it was a Star Wars reference when I first played it.
Yeah. Did you tell us yours, Ash?
No.
Will you?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's... I just love... skeletons. Yes. And I love environmental storytelling skeletons, but my favourites are actually all in Fallout, which I haven't played a lot of because I'm a Elder Scrolls girly. But there's one in Fallout 76 that you can find where a guy's dropped a weight on his neck. And it's just a skeleton.
Well, like he was working out.
Yeah, and right. it's just a skeleton with like a weight across his neck, and I just love it. They're also silly. The ones in the
what's the story though? He was working out. What happened?
He dropped a weight on his neck.
What? It was too heavy.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he choked. That's okay. A danger.
That might not be what happened. It might be that, you know, like someone came along whilst he was working out and was like, not today, Steve.
Well, maybe, but their skeleton wasn't there to tell the story.
Well, no, because they lived, because they pushed. That's what I'm saying.
Could it be that the skeleton was there before someone was coincidentally working out and then thought, I'm going to put my weight down and then just popped it conveniently?
This is the beauty of environmental storytelling, isn't it? It's like art is open to interpretation. Yeah. Who knows what happened to that skeleton?
I do like when you find a skeleton on the loo. I was trying to think of one.
That's one of my favourite ones.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Fallout has so many toilet skellies.
Yeah.
They are the best.
Yeah.
There's also a great one in Dredge, which you can hover over. Won a photo mode competition with it.
Oh! Congrats.
I got a t-shirt and some pins.
Oh, blimey! Oh, all right. Kept
where's
that to yourself,
t-shirt? Why
you?
Have you never worn your t-shirt
only,
in the office?
I need to sleep in to comfort me.
Oh!
But there's a skeleton that's just like a giant sea beast that's like on the bottom of the floor, and when your light goes over it, you can see it. And I just think it's really well done because there's not many skeletons are all in Dredge. Everything gets eaten whole. But you find that one, you're like, ooh, that's a very big creature. I bet there's more big creatures in here.
That's another good point. I also enjoy that flavour, the big skeleton. The big skeleton of what is that? You know, sometimes you'll just see like a rib. A rib cage, and you'll be like, what is that from?
The Rib Cage Canyon is a whole section on TV Tropes.
Right, oh, is it?
Yeah, because they do use it in so many things where you're just walking through and there's like a big rib cage and you're like, oh, there was a big beast here once.
Yeah, very cool.
Right, so now for the fun part.
Oh, no.
It's the PlayStation Access mini quiz.
Oh, boy.
Of course it is.
What's the theme for this?
Well, it seems it's my last one. I needed to get some podling pointlings in.
Yeah.
So the theme for this one is... and it involves some role playing.
Okay.
So,
for who?
For everyone, really. So I want you to imagine you're in a morgue.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And you've all got your rubber gloves on. You've got your scrubs on. You've got your mask on. You've got some Vicks smelling salt under your nose or maybe the balm so that you can't smell the room.
Yeah.
And
God, I hate that you know that these are things they do.
Oh, wow. That's just true crime. That's just TV.
Have you been to one?
Have I been to a morgue?
Yeah.
No, not an active one.
Have you?
No.
Okay. You said that like you were going to go, I have. I'm going to go, what? No way. But no, you haven't.
Oh, that's where I'm going to go hang out after this.
Yeah.
But you guys are all working in a morgue, and you're working in the video game morgue, right?
Okay.
Okay.
So this is where video game characters come when they have suffered a death animation.
Right.
So, you know, like characters like Spyro, you know, falls off the edge of the earth, comes back again. That's where the
My favourite Spyro scene.
The remains.
Yes.
Come back. You know, when he drops into some lava. But, oh, you get some charred bones. You got to sort it out and file it away. So there are five bodies that have been delivered to the morgue, and you need to identify who they are and what has happened to them.
Okay.
Okay.
So you have three questions you can ask me to assess the body.
Okay.
And that's basically what you got to do. You got to do it within three questions.
Okay.
So the first body's been brought in. That's the wheels clicking.
Should get that.
Careful, you're going to say that they ate a clock or something.
No, that's the wheels clicking as the gurney comes in.
Okay.
The door's open.
Get some WD-40 on that.
And that's the table's been set up. And okay. You look in front of you, the three of you look down, and all that's on the table is a pair of trainers.
Yeah.
A pair of eyeballs.
Yeah.
And a small black nose.
It's Crash Bandicoot.
Dead, Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah. What happened to him?
I think he's burnt to a cinder by a fireball.
You'll know this.
I know. There's so many death animations for the poor guy, though.
I'm saying fireball.
If it's just eyeballs, then that's going to be...
and a nose. Let me just look through my Crash Bandicoot dictionary.
Well, yeah, because there are many different ways that he can die.
I could just see your panic, Rosie. You're like, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. It's like a picture.
My reputation. If I get this wrong.
I want to say like a TNT or a nitro, but is that, yeah, because I think that's just when he explodes and then you're left with the shoes... the eyes, but I don't remember a specific animation where like his nose is just there, but I'm gonna say like
I think the question's wrong, but
no, it's probably right, but maybe like
I mean it is right, it's probably me, I checked this.
So I'm gonna say like explosion from a TNT or a nitro.
Correct.
Yeah.
well done morgue worker. Wait,
are
Rosie,
are we all working together?
Yeah.
Well done, us.
Yeah,
well done,
Rosie.
I'm figuring it out.
This is just, you're all working together. You've got the same clipboard because there's only one.
Right, yeah. Write it down. I've
got to get through these deaths. So okay. We can clock off early.
Right, I come in and I sweep all of the filth. Sorry, Rob, I nearly hit you. Sweep all of this debris off the table.
That was Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah,
show
wow.
Some respect.
Actually, it was just some eyeballs. Sorry.
Just some trainers, some eyeballs, and a nose.
That was part of my personal collection. Right, let's bring the next one in. And I've slap out the next body, which is a woman's body, and there's various holes in it up and down.
Is it Tomb Raider?
Lara Croft's body.
Yeah, I feel like an idiot for saying Tomb Raider. Like that's Miss Raider.
I see on your passport a tomb. Welcome aboard, tomb.
Yeah, Rosie, did she...
She falls on spikes a lot.
Yeah,
that's got to be it.
Or was she like... Okay,
yeah.
Good.
That's good. That's it. You got it. Don't worry. I won't eke it out.
Yeah. You got it.
Okay.
Well done. Right on the notes.
And the next one, I've done these really obviously. I was just having a nice time. The next one, I roll that one away. Oh, sorry. Got to get rid of that. Put it in the freezer. Kick the door shut. The next one comes in and it's been carried in and flopped down on the table. That's the body going down. And this one's a real mess. And it's a man's body with a lot of head trauma.
Oh. Yeah. And that's all we're going to get for now.
Yeah. We're levelling up the hardness a little bit now.
With a lot of head assess. Trauma.
Could it be...
localised head trauma.
Localised.
Joel.
I was going to say, is it Joel?
In the head.
He hasn't been bludgeoned to death in the head, but yes, it is Joel.
I was going to say, was
localized
the weapon a golf
head
club?
Trauma.
Yeah.
So which Joel death is
so is
it?
This or, sorry not is this is like a gameplay Joel death?
Yeah, this is not like a story death.
Oh,
these
are, right, I guess.
These are, you know, load the checkpoint deaths. So is it it's going to be
I was going to say
I'm
trying to, but I can't picture
you guys
that.
Aren't asking any questions to assess the body.
Oh, you didn't tell us what the three questions
does,
are allowed to
does
answer.
The jaw get ripped?
Oh, wait.
Does the jaw get ripped?
I can Does it? How's this? What area of the? How? Where is the localized area of trauma?
On the jaw.
Okay. I love that we knew you so well. But it was like, it's going to be the jaw.
It's the jaw. Yeah. But let's ask a question.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Well, horrible way. Write it on the notes.
Really horrible way to go.
Right, I pick up the mandible, pocket that, and then...
that's for me.
That one goes away. Right, the next one comes in, and this one is brought in a few pieces. But it's clearly very cleanly cut.
Okay.
And all the pieces get put down on the table.
Can we tell? Okay, what
is this? A human? Is this the remains of a human?
What species is this? Do we think
they are a human woman?
Okay, so immediately I'm thinking of Resident Evil. Oh, yeah, lasers.
Ada in the lasers. Yeah. Like, I don't know why I just say it's like a woman. I was just like, that's a famous one.
Are the cuts charred?
I wouldn't describe them as charred, but I would describe them as cauterized.
Ah, okay. Semantics.
It's a laser death.
it's a laser death.
Yeah.
I think we should... more questions, Your Honour?
Come on, Rosie. Bring it home.
Well, I'm just trying to think of what more questions we can ask, but...
Is it
more.
Resident Evil?
What's is it Resident Ada? Evil with Ada Wong? Is Ada Wong in Resident Evil?
And what's the death?
Lasers
in yes, the.
It is.
I like the idea of like seeing this report. It's like Ada Wong death lasers.
Yeah. The postmortem has happened, and we can confirm the cause of death was lasers.
Yeah.
Right, so that gets picked up by the lunch lady and taken out.
Oh my god!
Lunch lady's getting involved.
God almighty.
The next one gets brought in, and there's two security guards in hazmat suits.
Ooh.
And they're holding this one by the back of the neck and the hands behind the back, and it's not quite dead. It's snapping. It's going... and it gets put on the table and tied down, this one does. So that's it, and it looks a bit like a man, but you guys aren't quite sure.
Could it be a zombie?
This one's still alive. He shouldn't be here.
So hazmat suits.
Hazmat says radiation.
Yeah.
To me. Mm.
So I'm thinking it could be.
And it's only like player characters in this quiz.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So a character
that's been turned into an undead thing.
Well, is that what we would surmise, that this is undead?
I would.
Or is it close to death?
I would classify this as an undead specimen.
Okay.
An undead specimen.
This
undead
is a morgue, specimen. So everything that comes in here has died at least.
Has Matt.
Yeah.
And this is a human man.
So this is your second question.
That's Rob thinking aloud.
Okay.
I think. He said, this is a human man.
Would,
it is a human man.
The Walking Dead? Would the man... I've never played The Walking Dead, but the
probably
man...
Probably not best for you to guess then.
Yeah, not best for me to guess. This is communication along my fellow morgue examiners.
I think I know who this is.
Yeah.
Who?
I don't know if I can remember his name.
You only have one... once you present me the answer, that's it.
That's
you
know, it.
Right. I think I do know
who it
is.
Is there another question you could ask to further...
not unless I can ask what is this character's name. I think I know who it is, but I can't remember.
What game are they from?
It's The Walking Dead 1.
Yeah,
and right at the end, Clementine has to leave.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking.
Her partner. He gets bitten, and I think you have the choice. You can either shoot him or walk away.
Mm.
So I'm guessing this is what happens if you choose to walk away.
That's what I was thinking for that character, but I also have never played it and don't remember their name. I remember Clementine.
I think his name's Lee.
Oh, Lee is in the first Walking Dead for sure. He's the main
guy
in the Walking Dead.
That's going to be my answer. Is it Lee from the Walking Dead?
How did he die?
He got bitten by a zombie.
Correct.
He was left
tied to a radiator. And in this version, he didn't have his arm cut off. That's why both were behind his back.
Oh, look at that. Great little bit of detail.
The infection spread. But there you go. That was far. You guys were really good at that.
That was a very inventive quiz.
Yeah.
We know video games really well, it turns out.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, well done, everybody. That is the end of our main feature on death, because mine is approaching. symbolically. Okay, yes. but yes, we are going to move on to comments of the week.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for comments of the week.
You almost left me hanging there.
It's all by surprise then. I was waiting for someone to be like, are we ready?
But I saved it. I just thought I'd just go for it.
I thought, we've got this.
Yeah. I saw it happen. I did the nod again. I was like, oh, okay, it's going. So it's that was really good. Well done, everyone.
And we did it.
Tuneful.
Yeah.
And in fact, one of the comments is about this straight away, which I'm going to read out because I read it and was like, whoa, that's a comment. And it was, let me find it because it wasn't the first one. Trophy Boy, there we go, who commented on the romance special pod and said, so yeah, they can sing. Talking about Samantha Bayard. That was the first time I heard a well-intonated major third from the second It's Time person, even when Dave sang that part. So yeah, just putting that out into the world. Hashtag Pod Squad.
Pod Squad.
No, not Pod Squad in that one. Pod Squad, no.
It's great. Not fair to compare us to an actual professional performer.
Professional voice artist can sing. Yeah, yeah, that's right. I'm not professional, okay? Does that cut me deep every day? Yeah.
You are a professional.
Not voice artist.
Your voice is here right now.
Yeah, not because it's a nice voice.
Just because it's
attached to the rest of me.
You have a good voice. Like your 1 million rap video.
Not as good as Sam Bayard's voice, apparently.
No.
Sam Bayard has a lovely voice.
Knows a major third when they hear one.
Yeah, well, Trophy Boy does.
Do they? Because apparently they haven't heard our major thirds. So Rob was getting the most stick there. He's major
third. I'm always the second.
He's major third, unless he's not here, in which case... Yeah.
It's tended to be me, I think.
I don't really
Everyone here is getting a bad rap apart from you. I got called out by name. Terrible.
Oh, well, no, I guess I am very tuneful and always coming in at the end. But yeah, that was just a little comment about the singing. So thanks for that, Trophy Boy. Yeah. You've caused lots of
pain,
upset and
heartache
and happiness. We've also got a comment from...
Is that an actual...
Is that a burp?
Is that the...
I just went to go and then I like wibbled it a bit, but it came out so weird that it shocked me.
Oh my god.
I was like, here we go, like, when it came out.
I thought it was a username for someone who's just got a load of jumbled letters as a username and you're doing an interpretation of
that. Your eyes wide and staring.
Your shock at yourself is.
That'll be the thumbnail. That'll be the thumbnail.
It sounded like a rain stick. That's why I was surprised. I was like, what? Am I really this musical?
The power's got to your heads.
Trophy Boy's writing another comment as we speak.
Oh my goodness. Well, we've got one from Jackus Maracus from the Best Anti-Hero Pod, who says, hashtag Pod Squad.
Pod Squad.
Rosie admitting that she doesn't know any Taylor Swift songs has me shook. I'd love to know which video game characters you think could be pop icons like Taylor and what you think their most popular hit would be called.
Barappa the Rapper.
The King of Cosmos from Katamari.
Does he sing?
Huh? Well, theories are that he sings the last songs.
Theories are?
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't realise there was so much lore.
At least I believe I always interpreted that it was the king singing like the very final songs, but like in the games, but I don't think the game ever officially announced it, but I just think he'd just be a great just musical idol. You know, he always has a guitar, he's always got the fashion for, like, you know, being epic and awesome, so
yeah.
But Parappa the Rapper, my main guy.
He just needs to make it. He's got all the foundations there.
He's got to believe.
Yeah,
he's got to believe. Hey! Well, he does make it. He does his own. He has like two gigs at the end of each game.
Like in the real world.
Yeah. Imagine being Parappa the Rapper and being told you haven't made it. Yeah. You're like,
I'm
internationally renowned. You haven't made it. Not yet.
Comes to the world, he's just like, why are people rapping my raps? It's like, I'm trying, Parappa. I'm really trying.
What's the one where they're rapping and it's the Onion Man and they're like, chop.
Chop. Chop.
Chop, chop, Master Onion.
No. The song's like,
kick,
oh,
punch, that's it's all in the mind. Although I do like chop, chop. If you want to test me, I'm sure you'll find.
Yeah, oh, look out, look out.
Here comes Parappa running in the room now.
He's
up there, look.
Yeah, always on the shelf.
He's 2D, so he could be here at any moment, just facing sideways, which I find really menacing.
Oh my god, yeah. He can't exist in this dimension. Well, he does exist in this dimension.
He's just like, he's here, but he's always at an angle to us where we can't see him. That's really terrifying.
Yeah.
Right, what would you... Oh.
You could write a good short horror story about that.
Mm.
A
very two-dimensional being.
Beings, yeah.
I think there's... the Invisible Man does exist, and that's about an invisible man.
Yeah, but that's different.
But this obviously, is like, this is like
something
a being,
about the two-dimensional yeah. nature.
Yeah,
of it,
that depending could, on how you look, and if you just look a little bit, you can see them, like, depending yeah. on.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was also that bit in The Simpsons where all the fashion models walk down, and when they turn at the end of the runway, they're 2D. commentary. Right. We've also got a comment that says, press X to dad, hashtag pod squad.
Pod squad. Squad.
They said pod squadron. Pod squadron.
Oh. Ooh,
fair.
Is that the long version? Is that
yeah,
what squad's
that's what
short
squad
for?
Is short for squadron, yeah.
And it says, I could listen to you. I could listen to
unless
you.
It's a, unless it's a football squad. That's not short for you.
I think it is.
You don't have a football squadron.
I think you did, and then everyone shortened it to squad.
No.
I think so. I think so. Pretty sure.
Gareth Southgate is not picking the England squadron.
Yes, he
for the Euros.
He is.
Squadron has got to be is more military.
Well, but it just means group, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about football to intervene.
It's not really a football
I think the word
question,
squad has broken off from the word squadron.
I think now,
and gone on to form its own
now,
word.
I think now it has. I agree. But I guess I'm saying that it was born of squadron.
Do I need to Google it?
Do
I need to get Google out?
Anyway.
Well, they said hashtag pod squadron. And
we don't know what to do with that.
I don't know. And then it's, I could have listened to you guys passionately talk about The Last of Us for 10 hours. Love this episode. Well, I hope you enjoyed some more today.
A little bit more today.
And
yeah.
then my 7-year-old daughter listens in the car with me. Oh, I'm so sorry for the sunbathed episode.
Speak for the car podcast listeners.
She will forever be your fifth, sometimes fourth, comments of the week singer. We have a future gamer here.
Nice. Oh. And a future singer. But yeah. don't let Trophy Boy hear.
I was going to say, Trophy Boy.
Don't be like me, the third whatever thingy.
Is it in Major
Be better
key?
Than me.
It's
Major, yeah.
So it'll be, it's time. Oh, I'm trying to find the
it'll just be, it'll
you
just
made
be
such
higher.
Direct like, eye contact with me.
Yeah, that's Major. So it'll be like the. Like the fourth one's the higher one.
Be like, it's time.
What is happening?
I'm trying to find the minor version. Can you do it for me?
It's time. It's time.
How do you know what minor and I don't?
It's I don't like, understand
whether it sounds sad or happy.
Da, da, I don't want to do it.
Exactly.
Now. Those last two notes were the same. You moved your hand and your face. You were like there. But nothing else changed.
What's the comment?
Yeah. What are we doing
the
here?
Comment is in there.
Pull
comment.
This podcast together.
Sorry.
The comments that we've got on our new our comments of the week singer.
We've got from, excuse me if I pronounce this badly, but João Gabriel Rodriguez de Oliveira from the Best Gaming Anti-Heroes pod says, hashtag pod squad.
Pod squad.
For me, as a Brazilian geek, it is strange to see a British person who is not familiar with the Lord of the Rings story. In my thoughts, it's like all British are born knowing about Tolkien, or at least read it in school. But that said, I'm enjoying seeing Rosie's journey in Tolkien's work. Please continue to report us. So there is your opportunity to tell us more about some Lord of the Rings.
I haven't watched the third one yet.
Okay, well, there we go. We've learned more about Rosie's story.
The crew are still very much where they were after the second film.
Where's that?
I'm trying to remember now. Frodo and Pippin.
Are in completely different places. I'll start with my two faves, Frodo and Pippin. Two different places.
Pippin's just such a great name. Frodo and Sam, sorry. Frodo and Sam, they're still together after Sam was like, I'm your Sam. So they've gone off and they're with Gollum. Gollum's angry now because Smeagol. Yeah, Smeagol was like, oh, I'm good. And then.
She could do it.
I don't remember.
God's sake.
Don't remember that.
Less precious.
Let Rosie have a moment.
Smeagol was good. And then Smeagol felt betrayed by Frodo, even though Frodo was like, I was trying to help you. So now Gollum's with them again. So, like, oh, what's going to happen there? And then, in terms of the rest of the crew, they just fought a big war.
The rest of the crew just fought a big war.
Yeah. The two hobbit friends, Pippin and
And
the other one.
Yeah.
You make a name if you don't know it.
Begins with an M.
We wish you a
Mary. Mary. Mary and Pippin. Mary and Pippin. They were eating some food right outside Saruman's tower.
Saruman.
That sounds like a Digimon.
Saruman.
Oh. Saruman. What's his name again?
Just don't tell Rosie.
No.
I just want to hear Rosie's red. I love this so much.
I love this so much. This is so good.
Well, mate, they were eating food right outside his tower.
Can I just encourage anyone with the skills to take this section and turn it into like one of those animations? I'd love that. Carry on, Rosie.
And then what were the... Yeah, so then the rest of the crew, they fought the battle.
It was a war.
But yeah, the war. They fought the war. And then what did they do after that?
They fought the war and the... The war
didn't win. They won.
I stand corrected.
They won. I'm genuinely trying to remember what they do after that. They just...
Well, is there two battles?
Gandalf!
It's like you've woken up from a nightmare.
Gandalf! That was right at the beginning of the film. There's the flashback. Gandalf flashback. And Frodo's like, Gandalf! What is it, Mr. Frodo? Nothing.
No, Gandalf came...
Just a dream.
Gandalf came charging in on horses with the other party from the ones who were banished.
Yeah.
What are they called?
I don't remember their blooming name. Begin with an F, did the guys...
I don't know. I'm just liking your version of it.
I don't remember what they were called, but they were like the son of the king or the cousin of the... Or the nephew of the king. They were related to
the king.
They were related to the king. They've come back. And I'm genuinely trying to remember because Aragorn's like, we're going to fight this fight.
Yeah.
So they fight the fight. What do they do after? Sure. Aragorn's like, love, they've gone off.
Which one?
The lady with the long hair that, you know, he's...
Narrows it down.
No, there's like... There's
two women in all
Yeah, there's like the girl with the blonde hair and she's all over him. But at the
What's her name?
I don't remember her name. I just remember always being like, Aragorn, where is he? And it's like, you just met the blooming guy.
You sound a bit fed up with her, Rosie.
Well, that's because, like, you know, he's a busy guy and he's got commitments elsewhere and she's just met him and she's like, where is he? Like, you know, not... where's the king?
What's
you know?
That's Dave.
Yeah, she's just trying to keep her flirt meters up. keep her options open.
You're going to have to remind me.
Dave on his ship. Where are they? Where's Miranda?
Oh my God, I'm genuinely trying to remember.
This is the end of the film, Rosie.
After this,
they don't do much. They're just like, we've won that battle. There's probably another one coming, though, next film.
Yeah, okay, right. So I am right in that they do that. Because I was like, does anything happen after the war?
The credits roll.
The credits roll. Well, you could have blooming told me rather than me looking into this void creating a story.
I was enjoying it. Yeah. The last shot of that movie is...
They were hungry.
It's Frodo and Sam going off with Gollum. That's the end of that film.
Yeah, because I remember thinking, like, no, Gollum, no.
There's three locations, isn't there? There's like Gollum and Frodo and Sam,
mm-hmm.
and then there's most of the lads with Gandalf, he's there now.
And then there's,
Mary and Pippin and a bunch of trees.
Yes,
outside Saruman's.
Saruman.
just eating the food in the kitchen. Yeah, so that's where each story ends, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I hope that
okay,
that
my memory
great.
Did serve me right. correct. Right.
Yes.
And it satiated your Lord of the Rings appetite, everyone.
Yeah.
So, right.
I may never eat again.
We will hear more from Rosie when she finishes Return of the King. But for now, it's time to go to Before We Go.
Surprise, it's not Ash, but me. I'm talking now. Deal with it, Ash. This is the future. Because Before We Go is going to be a bit different this week because really it's Before You Go, Ash.
Yeah.
And we want to talk to you and find out, what the hell are you thinking? No, we want to find out and let everybody know, because we haven't done your goodbye live stream yet, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a lot in the live stream as well, but where are you going? What are you doing? What's your plan? Where can people follow you? tell us things.
I don't know. I'm basically... Oh, I don't know why I've gone really Wolverhampton.
It's a defence mechanism. I thought you knew that.
She's feeling intimidated.
I'm just a girl. I'm basically going to do my own thing. I'm going to go solo content creation. So streaming, videos and social media. I'm just doing it for myself. Girls doing it for themselves.
Voice in as well. Voice.
Yeah,
voice
a bit
stuff.
Of voicey. You can hear me already on the No Sleep podcast. Podcasts and seller letters, but I'm hoping to pick up a bit more. I don't know. Basically, I'm just taking a moment to do a bit of a leap of faith and just assess. You know, yeah. I'm taking a bit of a break to begin with because I've done 5 years in front of camera doing lots of this sort of thing. So I'm having a month off, which I'm very excited for. I'm going to go to Costa Rica for a bit and then come back and just flop around, and then it's all systems go on Ash Milmantown. Which is going to be horror content creation and zoning in on spooky stuff. Basically, I'm moving out to specialise and to pursue some personal projects as well. So that's all really exciting, but very scary. And I'm going to miss you guys so much. I've genuinely had the best time, and I'm going to gush about it loads on the live stream, I'm sure. But yeah, it's just weird, kind of like it's like the no safety net time now, right?
Yeah.
The tightrope time. So we'll see how it goes.
It's very weird. It's weird for us too. I mean, super weird for us. Obviously, we will still be here, and we will still have each other. We'll remember you fondly. But it's like I guess I'm, you know, just saying you're the brave one, forging ahead, following your own path. In I think it's a really brave decision. It's exciting, and you should be proud of yourself for making it.
Bravery and stupidity are but different sides of the same coin.
Perhaps so. But
play it to Zoltar, he'll tell me. Sorry, yeah. I don't know what I'm going with this.
That's okay. But I just think, yeah, you should be really proud of yourself, and obviously, like, you're going to be hugely missed. You're a massive part of PlayStation Access. And we're really sad. It's
and always will be.
And always.
As Gandalf would say.
Yeah.
And probably isn't the final end, is it?
No.
With the door.
I'm far too annoying.
The door is always open.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure Ash is going to be back on the channel within the next week. So that's happening, but like, you know, but you're not going to be here every day working with us every day, and it's going to be really sad.
I can't look at Rosie.
Speaking
I'll cry.
Yeah, I blooming cried when, like, I fully had to go in the other room, and Ash came in and was just like, someone crying over me leaving. I was fully there, just like, and then we had to stream Teardown, I think it was.
Yes,
like,
we did, yeah.
Yeah, and I said to Dave, I was like, sorry, I'm all right. So I was hiding back, like, tears.
I'm all right.
Yeah,
and the eagle-eyed amongst you will be able to figure out when it was that Ash told us she was leaving, and that is why it has been, like... It's only just really dawning on me, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. It's like, it's starting to become real now. I mean, for everyone who's listening to this, it's very real because it's happened now.
Yeah.
But for us, there's still a few days to go. But this is the start of the end, and it's weird.
It's the first piece where it's like, we're actually just saying it and talking about it, and like not just being like, oh, when this happens in X amount of time, you know. It's very weird and very real, and I'm kind of terrified, but it's. I think it's something that I've needed to do for a little while. And I've got loads of ideas to explore and stuff to talk about. And I think being able to do it in my voice, in my place, is a good thing. But that's not to say that I haven't loved every minute of doing it with PlayStation Access and being part of this team, because it's just been amazing.
I'd be worried if you weren't terrified, and all the best things are terrifying, so
I genuinely think you're gonna smash it. Like, I'm so, like, you know, it takes guts to make this kind of leap as well, so I'm so proud of you, and I genuinely believe you're going to absolutely smash it, and you're going to become that horror queen.
Hive queen.
You're going to become that
content,
and I'm going to watch, like, everything you put out. I'm going to comment on everything. Thanks, I'm going to be like a little knit in your hair that just keeps on, like, nibbling away that you can't get rid of for a long time.
I'm eating your hair.
I can recommend a shampoo for that, actually, Ash, if you need it. Yeah,
no, so. I'll be infested.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, I mean, from a personal standpoint, I'll always have your back. I'll always be watching you. So, like, you know, you're going to smash it. You're going to absolutely smash it.
I hope so. like and subscribe.
where can people follow you? Where's best, like, even, you know, just for now, where should people sign up to make sure that they find out where you're going to be in a couple of months' time?
Yeah, so it's all going to be on social. So everywhere, I'm at Ash Millman. I'm on Twitter, Instagram. I do have a TikTok. That'll probably be a little bit more active. But YouTube is obviously the big one. So at Ash Millman on there. And yeah, keep your eyes peeled. There should be a video on there already that's kind of like a Q&A.
Oh.
If everything's gone right. Like, so we're talking about in advance is always like, oh no. But that's the plan, is that after we've done our stream on Thursday, I'll upload a video on Friday, and that'll be the start of the new era. So
you're on Twitch as well, right?
Yeah, I am on Twitch. Oh my God, yeah. Absolutely. Follow me on Twitch. So those are all the places. And I'll kind of be becoming, like, I'm going to take those weeks off because I really need them mentally, and then I'll be back in full force in April. So that's exciting. And then I'm moving back home to Wolverhampton as well. So
you mean Ashprill?
Yeah. Expect loads of toasty content.
Yeah. Congratulations on having a name that is so unique that it can just be all the handles. Because David Jackson, not unique.
Really?
So Rosie Caddick.
So many. I remember being at school in doing my GCSEs when the internet was new and going on www.davidjackson.com, and someone already had it. Some American David Jackson.
What did they do with
a business? He was like, it looked like a sort of a lawyer or something. Aww. Just like a
boring.
Yeah, I was gutted. I was like, the internet's only just started.
Oh. I do have www.ashrillan.co.uk actually.
Oh,
but that is just my link tree at the moment. So all of my links are on that easy website, so you can get to everything from there, which is probably what I should have said originally. But
yeah, that's what I was looking for. Yeah. But you know, it's fine.
Hopefully,
it's
you're fine. You'll get better at search
this.
Each one.
You'll get better at this.
I haven't really thought about it loads. Is the main thing. I'm kind of trying to take it one day at a time with leaving, because it's just such a big, scary thing and changes so much. And I want to put out all the best stuff I can before I go. So it's been like access, 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 and then I'm going to leave and be like, what do I do now? Ah! So yeah, but that's the vibe.
You'll figure it out. Well, for I'm sure the 100th time, congratulations. Have a great time. Ooh. We'll still be here. Come back and see us loads.
Oh, absolutely.
The door is always open. Yeah. And yeah, we look forward to working with you again soon, seeing what you get up to.
100%. If you think you're getting away from the Outlast trials, then you better think about October.
I really do think I'm getting away with the Outlast trials. Oh no, October. Oh yeah. God, okay, fine. All right, I'll rethink things. So Ash, for the last time, at least for a while, do you want to say goodbye?
Oh man.
Say the line. You've got to say the line.
It's just, there's one last thing to say, and it's thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.
We love you. Me. Oh, that's sad.